The 17th District seat in the Virginia House of Delegates, held by Republican Chris Head, went uncontested in the 2015 election, but not this November. Juna Osborne, a clinical social worker and the mother of two young daughters, running as a Democrat against Chris Head on November 7th. She joins WFIR anchor reporter Jean Morano and me this morning, live in studio. Juna, thank you for coming. Nice to see you.
Thank you so much. I'm thrilled to be here.
Well, Juna, you helped organize the Women's March in Roanoke back in January, one of many organized around the country. If you would, Juna, talk about that experience and how it led to the decision to run for office.
Well, it was an amazing event. And as you mentioned, it was held nationwide and internationally, actually, which I think really speaks to the need for equality and still people thinking that we're, needing women to stand up. And it was a fantastic event. It was probably unprecedented in our town, and I was amazed at how many people came from not just Roanoke, but, you know, surrounding areas. And it led me into more of a spotlight, and I realized that I had sort of put myself in a place that would lead me forward. So this was the next step. It was a great opportunity, and I had the time and space to do it, so I did.
Juna, before we talk some issues, the 17th District, kind of recalibrate people. That's where that is. It's part of Roanoke County, Botetourt County.
So it's 25% Roanoke City, 70% Roanoke County, and a 5% little sliver of Botetourt. So it's basically a very gerrymandered backward C around the 11th, which is held by Sam Rasul.
Okay. I want to talk Mountain Valley Pipeline, first of all. Of course,
yes.
The decision came down from FERC Friday, 2-1. They sort of gave approval for the next step. Where do you stand on the pipeline, and what can be done at the state level to put the brakes on it for those opposed to it?
Well, I'm opposed to the pipeline. I think it's an inefficient way to bring jobs and energy to our areas. It's basically a conduit to go to other areas. We have on average of 50 years left for gas as a fuel source. I really think that we need to move more towards solar and wind, both of which growing faster than the economy. And I think it's really important that we look forward. Roanoke is a fantastic town. We really have the opportunity to be a gem here in the Southwest and really lead the way.
Mm-hmm. Are there things, if you were elected to the General Assembly, are there things that the state, the Commonwealth, should be doing, the General Assembly, to strengthen eminent domain laws within the state to protect people's property rights?
Yes, I mean, absolutely. We need to advocate for that at every single level. And, any legislation that's put forward to that is something that I would work towards.
Okay, let's talk about health care.
Yes.
And I was reading you had your own little bout with health care system when you were at South Carolina, as a graduate student at South Carolina, got into an accident, you went through the whole thing with not having adequate coverage, and luckily you had parents to cover it. But talk about health care on the state level, all the stuff going on at the federal level. What would you like to see the General Assembly do? I know Governor McAuliffe pushed for 4 years to get Medicaid expansion.
Yes.
That didn't happen. What do you think could be done at the state level to make sure more Virginians are covered?
Well, I think absolutely passing Medicaid, it's the fiscally responsible and the morally responsible thing to do. You know, we lose about $1.4 billion of our federal tax dollars to other states that do expand Medicaid. So, that's critically important. We could be putting that money back into making sure that every citizen here has adequate health care. Without it, we leave about 400,000 folks uninsured. And without that larger pool of buy-in, other, people's premiums do go up. So I think that's an incredible first step that we need to take.
One of the ideas at the federal level with the Trump administration is pushing, and it looks like it's going to keep coming up, is the idea of block grants going back to states and let them administer.
Yeah.
Do you like that idea? Are there problems with that, with the state administering a block grant?
I'm against block grants. I think it, leaves the onus up to the state, and it has such variability, and it really, it's at their discretion how they choose to spend their money. Some states may opt into Medicaid, some states may opt to, have health care for all, and some may not. And I think that's detrimental to the folks in the United States.
We're talking with Juna Osborne, candidate in the 17th District, House of Delegates, of the seat now held by Chris Head. Let me ask you about Chris Head, the Republican incumbent. Are there particular beefs, Juna, that you have with Chris Head and the way he's been representing his district? What hasn't he been getting done, and to the point where it motivated you to run?
Well, you know, I don't see him playing an active role. I didn't even know that he was my delegate. I had to find that out myself. I think a lot of people don't know who he is. And I you know, the role of a delegate really is to get to know your constituents and for them to know you. I think his vote against Medicaid expansion is, you know, really, again, a detriment to Virginians. And so that's something I would like to see changed.
All right. It's 8:50. We're talking with Juna Osborne this morning. She's running as a Democrat against Republican Chris Head, November 7th, 17th District seat, House of Delegates. Now, Juna, you volunteered at the Bradley Free Clinic, where they open a walk-in, no-questions-asked program.
Yes.
For those suffering from opiate addiction a year ago. You know, it's been a big issue for Attorney General Mark Herring. So how do we tackle the crisis, Juno? What could you do as a delegate? Because it is a crisis.
Well, again, we need to make sure that people have adequate health coverage, which, you know, gives them the opportunity to access services. So, again, expanding Medicaid so that we have more coverage for those individuals who are suffering from the opioid addiction. You know, I think prevention is key. A lot more education about, those suffering from, pain, and also, what we can do to combat that.
Let's talk about education. You were endorsed by the Virginia Education Association,
yes.
And you were at a forum yesterday on education.
Yes.
What's the big issue for education for you? Is it funding for schools? And is funding the only thing, though, Juna, that's going to make our schools better?
I think funding is a key part of that, and making sure that we have teachers who are adequately paid. We're still about $8,000 below the national average, despite the legislature voting in a 1% increase. You know, I do think increased funding is a critical element of that, and making sure that every school district has adequate funding so that they can, fund the programs that they need so that they can keep their students on par with 21st century learning.
You know, you hear so much about workforce training. It's become a mantra, like for Bobby Sandel at Virginia Western and
yes.
School districts. What can the state do? Is that part of funding, or is that a separate pot of money? What can the state do, the General Assembly do, to make sure that more kids are coming out of school with the training they need for jobs? You know, Governor McAuliffe likes to talk about all these unfilled high-tech jobs.
Yeah.
What can the state do to make sure more people are getting the training?
Well, you know, I think that implementing more skilled training in our, secondary education, I think reforming the SOLs, which is a real barrier to people getting that experience and that exposure. Also, partnerships with businesses in the community for apprenticeships and internships with high school students, if that's, the skilled trade is more suited for them. And community colleges also doing the same thing.
It's interesting. There's an apprenticeship forum Friday at Hotel Roanoke. And the apprenticeship idea goes back to the 1930s,
yeah.
Paid apprenticeships. But
mm-hmm.
Is that something maybe you'd like to see pushed a little more?
Yes, I think so. You know, when I was a graduate student, I had, an internship was part of our program. And mine happened to be in individual therapy. And it was something that was critically important to me and really informed what I would do eventually in my profession as a social worker. So I think that early exposure is really important.
We're talking with Juna Osborne, candidate in the 17th District House of Delegates for the seat that's up for election next month. A couple more minutes left. I wanted to talk about some of your other issues, jobs, the economy. You want to raise the minimum wage. I've read online to expand broadband coverage. What's the key to attracting either more large businesses or more entrepreneurial types that want to start their businesses here? Are those some of the keys?
Yes. Well, I absolutely love Roanoke. I love the Roanoke Valley. I think it's a fantastic place. We already have, a great setup in place with our beautiful geography, the wonderful people who live here. I think fine-tuning what resources we have available here, absolutely expanding broadband. We really lag behind in that. I'm thrilled that Ballast Point and Deschutes both decided to make us their home base. I think that really speaks to them seeing the opportunities that are here and continuing to build on that and really advocating for businesses to come here.
You know, the train comes back in a couple weeks.
Yes.
Does that signal something to businesses or people that can get here without having to take a plane ride or a drive here? Does that help business in some way?
Oh, absolutely. I can't wait to get on that train and ride it up to New York and go visit a friend. And I think having that access both in and out of Roanoke is is going to be critical. You know, we're in a valley, so, you know, we're rebranding ourselves as a destination, and I think that's really a key part of that.
You're a Democrat. How important is it to you if Ralph Northam be elected as governor? Does it make your job easier in the General Assembly if you have a Democratic governor?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, we've seen Republican control both at the state level and the federal level, and we've seen the result of that. We don't have Medicaid expansion. We don't have adequate programs that would really serve all Virginians, and I think that needs to change.
Got about a minute left. Just talk about your experience doing this. It seems like you're always out knocking on doors. You had Tom Perriello helping you one weekend. You're a runner. You've run marathons before.
Yes.
Does that help keep you up to date? But what's the biggest thing you're hearing from people when you go door to door?
You know, I run into a lot of teachers. I had no idea there were so many teachers out there. They either come to the door themselves or they have a relative or a loved one who's in the profession. And so funding education is almost unequivocally the first thing I hear. Healthcare is second. Those are the two top issues. And so people are really concerned about how to fund healthcare, how to fund schools, and making sure that, you know, everybody in Virginia has that funding chance.
15-second answer. You got involved. Is this something people should do, is get involved somehow in their community?
Yes, and I think the Women's March was the first start of that. We have people who've never been involved in politics ever before volunteering, showing up, and I think it's really fantastic.
All right, June Osborne, candidate for the House of Delegates, thanks for joining us this morning.
Thank you. This was fun.